It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Injured at work in a motor vehicle accident or had a fall in a public space? Speak to Your Claim Lawyers, a no-win, no-fee personal injury claims law firm that specialises in maximising compensation claims for injured people. Call 1-800-YOUR-CLAIM or yourclaimlawyers.com.au.
Yablet! Four goals to Yablet.
Oh, Yablet! You're guilty!
Justin Madden's got the set. One hand.
Rises to the top. He is an absolute legend of the game.
This is Your Football Life with Rex Hunt for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives.
Thank you very much to you, Matthew, and thanks to Tobin Brothers. No one's dead here, but I tell you what, long live the king. And there's the best indication I can give to who's in the studio eyeballing me, and he's under pressure because he hadn't seen grooves and old lines like that for a long, long time. The man is a star. 272 games at the highest level, 244 for the Kangaroos and 28 at Adelaide. AFL Premiership player twice, 96-99. Twice the AFL Players Association Most Valuable Player, 95-98. Seven-time All-Australian, including four as captain. Four times North Melbourne Best and Fairest. North Melbourne captain, 93 to 2001. North Team of the Century. AFL and North Melbourne Hall of Fame. Wayne Carey, this is Your Football Life.
G'day, Rex. Nice to be here. Thank you.
What is your immediate reaction when I sit here and read that out, and I can tell you that some of the game's greatest names, when they were coaching, if you were available, they said, the king, number one, and that's not all, without a doubt. How do you feel about that?
I don't know. It almost feels like another life to me now, to be honest. Where I sit now and that life seems like an eternity ago. But it's very humbling to hear when people obviously compliment you on the way you went about playing football. And when you read those stats out, it's something that I'm very proud of. It's certainly not something that I ever thought I would achieve when I first started. But looking back now, I do look back and very proud of the fact that I was not only able to play the game, but ultimately get success, and that was two premierships.
We're talking to the King, Wayne Carey, right across the nation. You look magnificent. You look absolutely fit. And if I could say, sir, you look quite peaceful and at ease with life. Am I reading it okay?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, why? Why do you look like this?
Oh, look, I think for me, playing football for me, Rex, I felt very comfortable on the football field. Obviously, being a Wagga boy and then moving to Adelaide and then to Melbourne. When I got to Melbourne, I didn't like Melbourne a lot. But for me, that the comfort zone was out on the football field, so I felt very comfortable. But outside of that, in my own skin, so to speak, I've never really been that comfortable. So I've done a lot of work over the years. Some of it's the work I've done, some of it's been caused by mistakes that I've made along the way. But I've always said that everything happens for a reason. And I guess if those mistakes weren't made, then maybe I wouldn't have done the work on myself that I needed to do. So where I sit right now in myself is I probably feel more comfortable in my skin now than I ever have before.
Wayne, we're going to get to those mistakes. We're not going to highlight them. We're going to highlight how you came back from them.
Yep.
Because you've displayed to me an unbelievable resolve and mental toughness that I think kids should know, because life ain't a bowl of chocolates, is it?
No, it's not. I think some people, you know, they look at, AFL football or VFL football as it was back when I played four games in the VFL, but turned to the AFL in 1990. So, look, it's not all roses, peaches and cream. There's a lot of hard work. There's way more downs in football than ups. And in life, it's the same thing. There's downs and then there are ups, but I think I tend to agree with it's how you bounce back from those downs.
Steve Waugh once said, it's not how you wave to the crowd, it's how you come back when everyone reckons you're gone. And a pretty good 100 at the Sydney Cricket Ground. This is about Wayne Carey, the star. This is about Wayne Carey, to me, the rising star off the field. I'm loving your media work. I'm loving the example you're setting that just because you lay in the gutter 1 week, doesn't mean you can't have a beer with Sam Newman on the 72nd floor of his penthouse down there. Take us back to Wagga. Take us back to this kid who idolised his big brother Dick. Take us back to this kid who eventually the penny dropped and you said, I want to be something in Australian football. Take us back to those days.
Yeah, look, I was, like you said, grew up in Wagga. A little bit of a different upbringing, Rex. You know, my father was a scallywag, and at different times, Dad was, I'll be honest, he was in jail. So we moved in with our auntie, and we lived with our auntie, and that's when I got introduced to Aussie rules. So I was 8 years old. I played rugby league at school. Loved rugby league, but on weekends, my two cousins were playing Aussie rules for North Wagga. And the North Wagga Footy Oval was literally 50 metres from my auntie's house. So on one Saturday, she took us over there. She registered me and my little brother. And I just fell in love with the game. I absolutely loved it. And it was from that point on that, footy was never out of my hand.
Were you above average as a kid? Would you consider yourself above the pack that someone said, hey, this kid might be something?
I was a small, skinny kid, but in my first year, I think I was runner-up best and fairest. So I adapted to the game fairly quickly. So I must have had a little bit of natural ability.
This is all over the shop, like my broadcasting is, but you know where I'm coming from. You mentioned your dad, and I'm going to mention father figure. Does my apparent image of you as a doting father and that your two kids are the most paramount thing in your life stem from the fact that you had so little time with your dad?
Yeah, spot on, Rex. So the one thing that I guess growing up in an environment like that, I guess you can go one of two ways. You can be just like your dad, or you can do the complete opposite. And I always said, and I knew from a very young age, that I wanted to be the complete opposite of my dad. And I love my father, always had three meals on the table. There are a lot of other people out there that have had way tougher upbringings than I. So, always had a roof over our head, but he was a tough man, and you're right. It's been a goal of mine to be the complete opposite to him.
Wayne Carey, the King, has joined us for Tobin Brothers, who are celebrating lives before we have to celebrate a life. And I think James's father might take that, and I might charge him 15 large for that particular slogan. Tobin Brothers, they're great. You know why they're great? Because we're finding out about people before it's too late. You know what it is that inspired him, so you can inspire kids. You moved to Adelaide, you played for North Adelaide as a 16-year-old, the horse John Longmire, a 200-game Coleman Medal player who is a premiership player at Sydney. Both he and you arrived at Arden Street at the same time. Pauline Hanson, please explain.
Yeah, look, I moved to Adelaide, so Dad decided that we'd all move to Adelaide. My mum and my eldest brother, Dick, who you mentioned before, who I was very close with, and you're right, I idolised him growing up. I wanted to be like him. I wanted to wear tracksuits. I wanted to drive a Commodore.
Tracksuits?
Yeah.
That's high expectations. And now you've got the Hugo Boss on there, Ducky boy.
Yeah, I didn't have high expectations, Rex. Everything that he did, the way he, believe it or not, the way he smelt, he wore aftershave, he didn't tie up his laces on his runners, so I didn't tie up my laces on my runners. So my dad decided to move to Adelaide. That's where my brother was. I ran away after getting to Adelaide at a young age. I was 13, and I moved in with my brother.
Yeah.
And that was the one of the more courageous, smartest things that I've ever done.
Really? Why?
Well, I guess I broke the shackles from Dad. I was really going to go nowhere if I'd stayed with Dad. We're living in Smithfield, which is a suburb about 10-15 minutes from Elizabeth in Adelaide. And you know, it was a wasn't a great area to go to school and or grow up. So moved in with my brother, and it was from that time on that I guess things for me started to change fairly dramatically. And that was, I went to Malala, which is a place about 40 minutes out of Adelaide, and my brother was coaching the seniors.
Mm.
I just turned 14 at this stage, and I was playing senior Colts, which was under 19s. I was running around, I was getting a few kicks, and they went to my brother and said, "We want him to play seniors." And Dick said to them, "He's too young, he'll get hurt." And they said, "Well, he's playing all right in the senior Colts. We should play him." So that night at training, Rex, we did competitive circle work, and I played on Dick. And I let out, took a mark on him, turned around, gave a handball off, and he sat me on my backside. I got up, shook myself off, and he said, "That's why he won't be playing senior footy this age. He's too young. He's not developed enough." And so, you know, those small things. And then from there, he got me a run at North Adelaide, the Sandboy Cup under 15s and then under 17s. So it was really only 2.5 years in Adelaide with North Adelaide.
So we found out that there was never any doubt that you would be going to, even if you didn't have the ability, you're going to have the right mental attitude to succeed at whatever you did, because you were where a lot of people don't go today because they like to sip cafe lattes and they think a headache is a setback. get out and get a bit of shizen under your fingernails. It's obviously where you learnt the killer instinct.
Absolutely. He every day after school, Rex, I'd run 7K.
Wow.
If it rained, poured, thunder, I'd be out in it. And it was no coincidence that later in my career when, I remember the conversations with Dick, middle of the 90s, and, you know, it's pouring down rain on a Friday night and everyone's saying it's, you know, not conditions for a centre-half forward. And I remember Dick ringing me up many times saying, you know, they don't know the amount of work that you put in as a 14-year-old in the wet. And I absolutely love the wet, but it was that hard work that he instilled in me and showed me what I had to do if I was ever going to make it. But at that time, Rex, it was never a dream to play AFL or VFL. It was back then when I was running around for North Adelaide.
It came to fruition at the famous Shinboners, the Shinboner spirit in 1990, your breakout year. Yep. And a few of us around the trap said, "This kid can play a bit. Can you just take us back to 1990?
Yeah, 1990. Well, I'd only played the four games in...
Previous year?
Yeah, the previous year. And so 1990, I played every game bar one. And you're right, Johnny Longmire that year kicked 98 goals. He was super. And, you know, to sort of get a bit of, continuity in that senior team, it was a dream come true. And I still didn't think I belonged. There's still self-doubt, a lot of self-doubt when you're running around.
How many kids in Australia is self-doubt killing?
Oh, I think it's...
I spoke to a bloke the other day. We've got to pass it on because we're becoming a society of softies.
Of doubters.
Exactly, and some individuals. Even in the game at the highest level, there's still a place for an individual.
Oh, look, it's evident everywhere.
Yeah, and the crowd will come and watch individuals
in
the team sport.
Without doubt. But, you know, that self-doubt, I think, stays with you for a period. And some, to be honest with you, Rex, I think some never lose that self-doubt. I think, you know, most guys or some guys come to a point where they truly believe they belong and they're good enough to play at the highest level. And that probably came for me in 1992. So I'd already played a couple of seasons, but it was in a state game against Victoria where they changed the rules, where I was able to play a game for South Australia. They changed it from where you spent most of your time between 10 and 16. And I think it was about 6 months in the advantage of South Australia over New South Wales. So I was able to play in a state game and get a few kicks.
Wayne Carey is a star and he joins us right across the nation today for Tobin Brothers. Why don't you stick around relays after your commitments and join us back here with a legend, and the legend is Wayne Carey. And right across the nation, this is your Football Life with the King.
Dream rises to the top. He is an absolute legend of the game.
You're listening to This Is Your Football Life with Rex Hunt for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives.
And thank you very much to you, Matthew, and thanks to James McLeod and the beautiful team at Tobin Brothers, celebrating lives, pardon me, and celebrating the very real life of Wayne Carey, the legend. And thousands of men have played the game at this, the highest level, folks, and some play and move on, others have more of an impact. And this is our guest today, Wayne Carey. I remember reading somewhere where you didn't enjoy your first few years at Arden Street. Why? And tell us about nearly going back to Adelaide.
Yeah, I think it was more being a Wagga boy, moving to Adelaide and then to Melbourne fairly quickly. I just didn't really like Melbourne. It was a big city for me. It felt like New York. So I was adapting to the Melbourne lifestyle. I'd really, after sort of leaving home, moving with my brother at 13 and having a little bit of normality in my life, and then living with my mum for 6 months before I moved to Melbourne, was sort of like, and then moving away from all of that again and being by myself in Melbourne. So it was more about missing my family and my friends and the friends that I'd made in Adelaide during year 9, 10 and 11 at school.
Do you think, Wayne Carey, that this is probably the major reason why we haven't seen so many of these old country stars that were too busy scarifying or crutching sheep or milking? They certainly would have made, you know, you look like a bloke like Ron Best who would absolutely kill him, you know what I mean? A few others don't come to mind at the moment, but you know what I'm talking about, and you obviously know blokes who, goodness me, if that had come down here, bang.
Yeah, no, there's plenty, Rex. And, during the early 90s, I used to get home because we weren't playing finals footy. So I used to get home and watch my brother's team, North Wagga, and the Wagga Tigers when TD was coaching down there, playing grand finals.
Who's TD?
Terry Denaher.
Yes, for those people that don't
know. Sorry. Get down there and watch them play in finals. And I remember sitting there watching numerous guys during that time in the early 90s saying, that guy there should be playing, in the AFL. So it was, certainly the case.
Jonathan Brown credits his absolute fascination and mimicking efforts as a kid to you to becoming a household name and himself one day a true legend of the game. Who was your childhood football hero at the highest level?
I'll tell you who initially. It was a guy called Laurie Pendrick. And he played a couple of games for South Melbourne. He was the captain coach of North Wagga. So he's my first hero. And I mentioned my brother. I didn't really have a hero in the AFL or the VFL. We didn't get too much VFL Rex in Wagga.
Yeah.
We would have the match of the round. So I'd heard of Jezalinko and I'd heard of Malcolm Blight and guys like that. And then when I went to North Melbourne, obviously the only guys I'd ever heard of were Matthew Larkin and Peter German. They were the two
North Melbourne blokes.
They were the North Melbourne guys. So wasn't really anyone that I was, mimicking or trying to be. I spending that little bit of time in Adelaide for the Roosters, Steve Kernahan was clearly an absolute superstar who'd just moved to Melbourne to play footy and obviously won the 87 flag with Carlton. So he was a guy that I looked up to as a leader and as a fantastic centre-half forward.
There is a lot of Brownlow medalists who are quite content with a Brownlow medal and say a premiership probably wasn't the be-all and end-all. And I'm a grumpy old man, but I say, you've got to be kidding, don't you? You know, we get together and we don't even know each other's names now at Richmond. We get lost. We don't know where we park our car, but we know what we did. And we couldn't care whether it was Royce or Bartlett yelling for the ball outside the pack like he did, that sort of thing. We all moulded together. Were you ever disappointed that you never won a Brownlow medal? And if you'd have won a Brownlow medal, would the only way that you'd accept the accolades be if it was in a premiership year?
I'm not disappointed that I never won a Brownlow medal. Although probably the only time that I allowed myself time to think that I could win, Rex, was 93 when I was the favourite.
Oh.
And it was the first time I was favourite. And Gavin Wanganeen won with 18 votes. And for those who don't know, Greg Williams got 44 or 45 possessions in the last game and didn't get a vote. So so that was the year I think I came equal third that year.
Yeah.
And from that time on, I didn't give it a second thought or never allowed myself to even think about the Brownlow medal. I think it's a fantastic award. Every player that's ever won one as a deserving winner. I will say that the people that are critical of certain Brownlow medalists, you've got to remember that a Brownlow medalist is good for that 1 year. We're not rating him over his whole career. And people go, well, he's not a deserving Brownlow medalist. Well,
in that year,
he was fantastic. So they all deserve it. Would have I loved to have won one? Of course you would. You'd love to win one. But ultimately, we play footy for one reason and one reason only, and that is to win premierships. And I was lucky enough to win two.
Couple more questions and then a couple more, just a little bit of tightness coming up for you, and you just answer it the way you want. Is there any game, grand final, preliminary final, home and away game, that stands in your memory that you'll take to the viewing room at Tobin Brothers?
Oh, the grand finals, without doubt, 96-99. Unfortunately, Rex, I think failure stays with you a little bit longer than success. So,
well, tell me about it.
The Tobin Brothers. I'll be going into the Tobin Brothers box with them always, with the thought of losing 98. It eats away. It's something that I think about more than the wins. Unfortunately, like I said, I think sometimes those failures you think about more than the successes, which is a shame, but it's reality.
But it's a common denominator with all of the stars that I talk to. Yep. They think it's more important to learn how to just really take hurt than to wave into the crowd, you know, when everything's going well. Now we're going to get it. I want to know how you came back from one of the most brutal public personal assassinations of your character, and how today people are actually listening to you on the radio on Triple M, tuning in to Channel 7 to see and hear you. How did you do it?
Well, look, I think it's about, for me, it was about taking ownership and being honest with yourself and also feeling comfortable in your own skin, and we touched on it earlier. And it wasn't a plan, Rex, to be where I am now in terms of, you know, doing some media work. It was a natural progression, but through a lot of hard work, and pretty much like anything that worth doing is worth doing properly. And I think that, you know, I had to, you know, I seriously did, and it's an old saying, but I had to have a good hard look in the mirror and like I said, take ownership and do the hard work. And it's funny how I sit back now and think, geez, why couldn't have I got that earlier? And you know, why did I react in that way? And why did I run away from problems? And it's not until you sit down and talk to people about the reasons why you do those things. And it's very easy in hindsight, Rex. We can sit back now and where we sit now and look back and say, well, you know, that was a, you know, I shouldn't have done that and I shouldn't have done that. But you take yourself back to that time, and you know what? You'd probably still make the same decision. You'd probably still do the same things because you're in that moment at that time. And unfortunately,
and that includes the moment that saw you leave North Melbourne in the most famous story of all time.
Well, it's
the moment.
Yeah. Well, look, it's the single biggest mistake that I've made in my life, because it went against, despite my dad being, you know, as tough as he was and probably not the best role model for me, Rex, he did instill a few things, and that was one thing that was a no-no, and I've certainly...
Another bloke's missus is out of bounds.
And I've never ever done it before, Rex. I've had the opportunity many, many times, and that's not me sitting here.
Let people out there judge this. I need to get to you because I need to get to you, and I'm sorry to interrupt. Do you think that there is a day in the near future or the future that you and Glenn Archer and Anthony Stevens we'll sit together and celebrate the real reason why you all knew each other, and not the other reason?
Oh, Rex, we've been in the room many times. I caught
I'm
up.
I'm not talking
Arch.
About the room. I'm talking about the three of you, because you were the engine room of the Shinboner spirit with Pagan, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, look, Arch and I have caught up at different functions and had a chat. Will it ever be the same? No, it won't. You know, Anthony and I fully understand where he's coming from. Will we ever, you know, be the same as we were? I wouldn't have thought so, Rex. But you know what? The one thing that I've worked on, and that is I now feel comfortable in where all of that sits. I think I've paid my penance, so to speak, and I now feel fit comfortable with moving forward and not feeling the guilt and the shame that I felt around that for a long time. So for me, I've let it go, and you know what occurs, as long as Rex, the most important thing, I think, when you're playing premierships, and clearly this was a big thing at the time, but when you're playing premierships, it's important that, you know, you think about others other than yourself. And it was a big thing at the time, but so that others in that premiership and at that time of North Melbourne feel comfortable, it's important that we all, I guess, put our thoughts, you know, I guess, behind us for that moment and move on. Make sure that it's an enjoyable time for everyone and not make people feel uncomfortable being in your presence.
It's been great to talk to you, and I hope people out there have realised that there's more than what you see and get with the King. The straw poll around Hutchie's Croc Media, AFL Live, and the rest of the syndicated programs that go out of this wonderful establishment. 70 people have given me their top five players of the modern era. The results are in. Number 5, Matthews. Number 2, Ablett Jr. Number 3, Lockett. Number 2, Ablett Sr. And number 1, Robert Gwanaragan. No, Wayne Carey. How good is that?
Oh, look, it's like I said, Rex, even to be in the conversation with, you know, those names that you just mentioned, it's humbling. I don't believe that. I don't consider myself to be in the same category as the guys you just mentioned.
Yeah, well, you're better.
But it's, like I said, to be in that conversation, I'm humbled by it, and thank you for those who voted.
And I'm humbled by the fact that you said 18 months ago we will eventually get there. And thank you very much as a man of your word. Wayne Carey is a star. And this is your football life for Tobin Brothers. And join us next week from 7:30 a.m. on a Sunday morning on 11:16 when I delve into the past of some of the great champions that have graced the turf.
Want to witness the world's biggest football game? Head to iCanWin.com.au, predict Australia's score with a crystal ball, and it could be you and a friend at the FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022 semi-finals, all thanks to McDonald's. Maccas, together and loving it. TNCs apply.